I won't mind the bundle of that. We're just discussing. And I don't know whether I said it out or I thought to myself, this is just what my professor in university used to call mass delusion. It's paper, which we all agreed has value. It's like gold. Do you get my point? We all agree they have value. But the real inherent value, listen to me, is only found in heavenly things. What I'm telling you is true. Therefore, everybody should seek for that which has eternal value. And the most valuable of all things, what I'm explaining, is the pleasure of God towards you. That is, one day you are looking forward to that God will shake your hands and say, whether my hand is shake or a shake spirit, whatever it is, you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And part of the thing about Christianity, I said it on Tuesday, is because of what we know that we behave differently. If you listen to that message I preached on Tuesday, please make sure you get a copy. I will not be discouraged. That's one of the reasons why we can never be discouraged. We can lose material things. You invested money in something, all right, in a business, in a relationship, in whatever. It doesn't hurt you because when the thing doesn't work out, it doesn't hurt you because you know that the material thing invested is nothing. The real thing that you invested is a spiritual substance. Are you getting my point? And that one cannot disappear. I can sow it into the life of Sister A and reap it from the life of Sister B as a single man. I can sow it as a businessman into one realm of business and reap it in another realm of business. And materially speaking, there's no connection. But because the real valuable things are the things in the spirit, they can't pass away. They can't die. They don't vanish. They don't. Are you getting my point? Therefore, we strive to acquire assets in the things that are real. When Jesus talked about laying up treasure in heaven, that thing is real. It is possible to pack up a heavenly account. He said there, thieves don't break in and steal, and moths don't destroy. Inflation does not reduce the value. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Please, follow me. I'm trying to talk about this matter of judgment. So I've been talking about eternal judgment. I'm trying to move into the other realm of judgment. The other thing I want to say about judgment, all right? I said all of that to let you bear something in mind. What is you gone for is what God thinks about each thing. And you're going to see that as we go on. I'm talking about judgment. The next thing I want to say about judgment is that that's the one we read to in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. And I used that one to preach on Tuesday in that message which I titled, I Will Not Be Discouraged, which I encourage everybody to please get a copy. I will not be discouraged. Please try and get a copy of it. It's very important, if you're not, especially if you're not around. And indeed, if you're around, it's good to listen to it again and again. Life can be very discouraging, so you need something to charge up your faith. Now, we read that one, that Bible, the Bible says that, in that Ecclesiastes that 12, verse 14, that God will bring every axe to judgment. That's what I'm going to next. We're talking about eternal judgment. Now, let's talk about what I call every act being judged. I don't know which simple word to use for that. But listen to me, every act will be judged. Now, this interesting part, when God is judging acts, listen to this. God doesn't just judge the acts. We read that one from the book of Jeremiah chapter 17, in verse 10, that before he judges the physical acts, he first examines the mind. Therefore, for the same acts done by two different people, you can get different judgments. Are you getting what I'm saying? The reason is because God is not judging the act alone, but he's judging primarily what is inside. And listen to this. Human beings are... Oh, let me put it like this. Actually, your flesh is just to reflect what is inside your heart, what is inside your soul. God gave us this flesh to demonstrate. Are you getting me? To demonstrate what is inside us. I will give a few examples as we go on. Now, so when God wants to judge, it's those things that are inside that he's actually judging. Don't worry, I won't spend more time on it. I'm about to get into it now. All right? That's why when people say, give so you can get, it's because they think God is judging the acts without checking the motive. When you give so you can get, God sees a selfish man. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what God sees. So God rewards selfishness. And therefore, he that sows to the flesh, you know what he gets? You know what he gets? Corruption. Thank you. He that sows to the flesh will from that flesh reap corruption. The Bible says God is not mocked. You can't make a fool of him. Let's read that scripture again. Proverbs chapter 23. Please, I told you I'll take some extra time today, but I'm hurrying so that I won't take too much time. It says from verse 6, do not eat the bread of a selfish man. Notice this word. The man is what? The man is what? Selfish. The man is selfish. He said, or desire his delicacies. For as he thinks within himself, that is what he really is like. We quote this and say that, look, if you want to be a millionaire, think like a millionaire. That's not what he's talking about. We quote it to say that if you think these thoughts will come upon you, that's not what he's talking about. What he's saying exactly is that don't eat this bread of a selfish man. Because even though he says to you, eat and drink, verse 7, his heart is not with you. Because as a man thinks in his heart, that is what he really is like. No matter what a man gives, as he thinks in his heart, so God identifies the seed that he claims to be sowing. I don't know what I get on this. It is what he's thinking about, not what he's doing that is first. If the man gets up and says, I need 5,000 naira. How do I get it? Let me go and give 50 naira. There is no act of love in it. None. He will reap faster if he will just kneel down and say, dear Lord, I need 5,000 naira. That way there's no mocking of God. There's no mocking of God. There's no mocking of God in that particular one. God judges acts only according to what is inside the heart, not the act itself. Are you getting my point? That's why I've said this as an illustration several times. I've been to many couples meetings and read books and watched them on TV. People are trying to teach women how to persuade their husbands. And all they are doing is teaching what the Bible calls witchcraft. Manipulation. If you notice the kind of food he likes, you give it to him. And wait till it's a very cold night. And then when he approaches unto you, ask him that thing that we were talking about the other time. That is satanism, it's wickedness. It's called kidnapping and hostage taking and blackmail. That is why JTF has started bombarding camps of militants. Oh, thou woman, why art thou a militant? In thine own house, and thine hostage is thy husband. If it doesn't work with men, why should it work with God? Men can't read your mind, but God can read your mind. I hope you're following what I say. But God is judge. The meaning of the word God is judge. Let me tell you. There are two sides to God. His character. He said, don't repay evil for evil, because he has said, vengeance is mine. That's one side of God. Vengeance is what? Mine. God owns vengeance. That's one side. The second side is, I will repay. You know, there's vengeance is mine. Forget about it. But there is vengeance is mine. I will repay. Listen, it is ungodly for God not to repay. God never, listen to me, he never overlooks iniquity. He never overlooks good. He never overlooks neutrality. He never overlooks anything. He doesn't have the capacity to overlook. He's a judge. If he punishes evil and refuses to repay righteousness, he's unjust. If he repays righteousness and refuses to punish evil, is unjust. God, now listen to this, never, ever overlooks any of the above. Either it is good or it is evil. One. Number two, even in the lives of his children. I'm going somewhere. He brings every act to judgment. Especially, read that portion, those things that are hidden. Those that are done in secret. And the most secret of all places is where? The heart. So as a man is thinking himself, so is the character of the seed is really sowing. And God always brings every act to judgment. Whether it is good or evil. Whether it's a believer or an unbeliever. So what advantage then do we have as Christians? God, all he's asking for is justice. Therefore, if you break my glass and your father pays, I will forget it. I have not overlooked the broken glass, somebody else paid. I don't know whether I get my point. That's why don't ever take as light the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's not a joke. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is not a joke. Indeed, he paid for the redemption of mankind. Indeed, he paid. God does not overlook. He can't overlook. Just judges don't overlook. It's only unjust judges that refuse to advise somebody of the adversary. I prophesied the other time. And some men, Chinedu, one of them, say, Pastor, that your prophecy is hard. And I like that Buja Arab. You know that my prophecy against the Middle East. You want to hear it again? I have thought about it again and again. I have realized that my prophecy is even small. Worse than what I have said is what God will do. You don't want to see the vengeance of God. You don't want to see it. You don't want to see it. If you see God's vengeance, it's not upon you, it's upon your enemy. You won't sleep. I will say things I can't leave recorded. When God wants to punish men, he will make sure they carry their children and kill them in their presence. People tell me that God doesn't think bad things. See, the way heaven works is not the way you think. The devil does not have the ability to conceive a quarter of the evil that God can conceive. The devil does not know where he hurts people. It's God that knows where he hurts. What does the devil know? What does he know? What does he know? If you look at a man and you tell him God punish you, the man had better be begging you. I will say it like this, then I will explain it. God is very wicked. The only problem is that he's slow to anger. Are you getting my point? He's not the quick vex. But if he vex, listen, those days when I was in Nigeria, I said, a typical soldier is very harsh. You get my point? But when you want to see a wicked soul, get a military police. The devil is very wicked. You know why the military police is wicked? Because they need to be more wicked than the people they want to punish. Who's going to punish the devil? Who do you think is more wicked? The only issue is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. So with all the vexation with Ahab in connivance with Jezebel, vexed his soul. Once Ahab said, hey, please now, you go give somebody. God look and say, hi. See, as Ahab humbled himself before me. We Pentecostals don't believe all these things. And God is a good God. Only the devil can make HIV. If devil makes HIV, say it takes 15 years to kill. God will make the one that will kill you before he can inhale it. And God never does what is wrong. And God is a good God. He only thinks about what is good. The power of the devil. Only the devil. Listen, who gave the devil the power of death? Therefore, listen to me. When God will judge Islam, you pray for them. When he's going to set out, when he begins to ride with vengeance, you will pray for them. At that time, he will tell you, guys, forget it. I gave them enough time. Arms were sent into Nigeria recently from Iran. God will judge. What is Bujara? £2 billion. That's all. Oh, you don't want to see his judgment. He said, kiss the son, lest he gets angry. He's slow to anger. But when he gets angry, everybody perishes out of the way. I have thought about it. I'm not praying, no. I'm not prophesying. But I can't understand why God will not take Islam and punish it with the kind of punishment that no, this earth has never seen. What did they do in Haiti? They served other gods. What did they do in Rwanda and Burundi? Maybe they harassed a few missionaries. They chased other people's wives because God doesn't take that easy. Small, small sin like that. A man climbed the window into another man's bed at night. Just small, small sin. Yet, in 1 month, you saw what he did. And don't tell me it's the devil. The devil doesn't have certain kinds of power. Yet, men gather and say, every Christian is a target. They gather. They burn the word of God. And they call Christ a fake prophet. And then they gather against his church and send arms to fight his people. He's only slow to anger. The day he starts, he said that day you will be thanking God for the woman that did not bear children. That's what Jesus said. And listen, though, that was judgment against the people he called his own. So he said, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. For the Lord our God is a consuming fire. Go and tell them in Saudi Arabia. If they don't repent, they will likewise perish. Tell them in Iran. Forget Barack Obama. Forget America. Forget Europe. I think about it. It's as if God built up nuclear arsenal so that they will know the day of the Lord burns like white fire. God is judge. He never overlooks anything. You do what is wrong, you better go and collect the remedy. Don't overlook it. If it is sin, confess. That's what you have as a Christian. The washing power in the blood of Jesus. God does not overlook. Nobody said the vessel. So. It just doesn't have the capacity. It's not one of those things in the attribute called God to overlook iniquity. No. Everything must be paid for. It must be paid for. You can't gather as a nation again, and you gather and say, we must stop these Christians. If he does not arise, he's not a living God. You see, I watched over Jacob like the apple of my eye. And Jacob was the means to an end. And that end is called Christ. If he watched over Jacob like the apple of his eye, what do you think he's doing to the church of today? This is, if I look at television, I feel sorry for those who troop to Mecca. They are moving close to the time of judgment because even me, I'm tired. I'm tired. Say, God, you are slow to anger. I know, but the anger has been going on for a long time. So I think about the prophecy I prophesied.
The way I see it, oh, the day the Lord will arise, that his enemies might be scattered. I told you, after a few years, stop going for holiday in Dubai. It will no longer be safe. It's safe for now. After some time, don't fly Emirates. Oh. Fly those ones that pass through London. Let me tell you the truth. It is more tolerable for communist nations than for Islam in the day of God's judgment. Because communists fight anything that's called God, right? Islam doesn't do that. They don't fight Hindus. The number one hatred in their soul is Israel as a nation there, but that one doesn't concern me. They are unbelievers too. Yes, they are. It's Israel as a nation there, and the church of God. They hate Christ Jesus with a passion. And the issue that God wants everybody to repent, but it doesn't wait forever. He is slow to anger. It means that one day he will reach anger. If you start trekking to Lagos, it's a matter of time, you will reach there. So you are slow to Lagos, but you will get there. He is slow to anger, but you will reach there. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I went all of that trying to explain the principle that God doesn't overlook. But he forgives. He never overlooks. He forgives. Forgiveness is not I have forgotten. Forgiveness is that I have applied the proper treatment. Somebody has paid. You destroyed it, but a kinsman, a relative of yours, all right, came and made payment. And that's what we have as Christians. That's what we have as Christians. And that's why even though we are believers, he still leaves the power of confession for us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful, all right, to forgive us of our sins, to if faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That cleansing has two sides to it. Every sin has, like I said, a natural consequence. It has to be cleansed away. That's what he does with the blood of Jesus Christ. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Now let me continue. The matter of judgment. So you see, God indeed, he's judge. And a just judge does not overlook. And I said that there are two spheres to judgment. I'm talking about eternal judgment for the Christian, briefly. I don't know much about it. And I'm talking about temporal judgment, like the judgment on this earth. And when we say judge, I said judgment means you give to each person a just recompense of reward. Are you getting my point? And let me say this quickly. Number one thing that you do that God calls work is faith. It's faith. Say, what must we do that we might work the works of God? Say, the work of God is that you believe. That's number one. But the other thing I want to say is that faith without works is dead. That is, the manifestation of faith that is in the heart is the works that are done outside. So that's why he tests the mind. He sees whether there is faith in the heart, and then he judges the works as a consequence, all right, of the assessment of that which is in the heart. Now, having said that, I want to also understand that as Christians also, our works are judged. You hear what I said? Our works are what? Judged. They are judged. Though faith is the number one thing. But there is really no faith that does not have a manifestation outside. Do you get my point? So the works, therefore, they are telltale signs of the faith that is inside. Now, talking about judgment still, I said judgment is not about punishment alone. It's about elevation also. He said in Psalm 75, one of my favorite portions of this Bible, that promotion does not come from the east, nor from the west, or from the south. He said, but God is judge. And what does that mean? He brings down one and he lifts up another. Let me say this to you. God never, you see, please hear this. God does not just do things. Hey, how do I say this now? Okay, God does not just do things for people or to people just because it feels like. It's not part of being just. If God wants to bless a man, he promises Abraham that I will make your name great. In you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. I will bless you so much, you will be a blessing. All right? You know the next thing he does for that Abraham? He now gives him the principles of righteousness. That's what the word righteousness actually means. He tells him the godly way to walk in a daily basis so that God will now be just in fulfilling the promises that he has made to Abraham. The promises of God are not self-fulfilling. They are activated. Are you getting what I'm saying? Quickly, there's one portion of the scripture we should quickly read. Genesis. So that you can see what I'm saying, that I'm not imagining things. Chapter 18, I think. Genesis chapter 18. This is one portion we all know. Let's read from verse 16. Then the men rose up from there and looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham was walking with them to send them off. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him. There are two translations here I'd like to quote. Let me first read the one I'm using, New American Standard. It says, for I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. Or the other one says that I have chosen him saying that he will command his children or teach his children and his household after him. That's what I want to bring out. Saying that or in order that, but both of them end in the same thing. That he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. That is, if they do not learn the way of righteousness and justice, what God spoke about Abraham will not be fulfilled. If you are not here, listen to the message, blessing for the blessed man. I taught that one of our school of prayer days. People like to go to church. It shall be well. Amen. I said to you, it shall be well. Your enemies you saw yesterday, you will not see them anymore. The man prophesying truth, yes, is the word of God. You don't even need to be anointed safe to prophesy that one. Just read a portion of the scriptures over people. It has power. Amen? I mean, a lot of churches, I'm not abusing anybody. I've been in churches before. All the past, no, I've not really been to much, but I've heard and I've seen quite a bit. Let's open the book of Isaiah chapter 5. No, don't open your own. And he said that Israel is my firstborn. He said, you shall be God's firstborn. Amen. And in the day of the jubilee of the Lord, good shall be found in the land. This will be your year of jubilee. Amen. Good will be in your land. The man will do that for 1 hour. Service don't end. You know why? Don't blame him. He's an elder. He's not a pastor. What am I saying? It's a good thing to do. It's a priestly function. Every believer should do it. Do it to your children. You don't need to be a pastor. Bless people. Now, where am I going to? You can bless people all you want. If they don't have the capacity to receive the blessing, they will leave that place and enter into judgment. Are you getting what I'm saying? God can promise anything he likes to anybody. I can tell you this, I'm very sure of it. I'm not sure Abraham was the first he promised. Made all those promises to. I'm not sure. But one thing I'm sure of is that he was not the only one. Whether he was the first, I don't know. You get what I'm saying? The book of Genesis you are reading today was written because Abraham claimed the promise. May God help you have understanding. The Jews, the Chinese, all right? Doesn't make any difference. It's the man who claimed the promise first that the book of Genesis was written about. The book of Genesis, the genealogy of Abraham. I pray you God will hope. Go and listen to our series on Genesis. I don't know who God called first. I don't know whether he's the only one. That's why I said the same God is rich unto all that call upon him. There's no difference. Don't let me see. That's why I don't understand this. Would I say that the promise of God is upon the Jews in Jerusalem? I always laugh. I laugh all the time because there's no longer a wall of partitioning between anyone. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him. He said the promises of God are yea and amen only in Christ Jesus.